truth is, you know what tomorrow brings. There's not a day ahead you have not seen. So in all things, be my life and praise. I want what you want, Lord, and nothing less. When you don't move the mountains, I needed you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. You are my strength and comfort. You are my steady hand. You are my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. Your ways are always higher. Your plans are always good. There's not a place where
anything. Brianna, if you want to come on and get ready while everybody's thinking about what they're going to say.
What was her name?
Mara Scragg. I think I said that right. Yeah, I'm getting the nod from Mom.
God alone, but sometimes I still try to take control, 'cause I get scared when I can't see the end. But all you want from me is to let go. You're parting waters, making a way for me. You're moving that I don't even see. You've answered my prayer before I even speak. All you need for me to be is still. I bring my praise before I bring my need, 'cause there's no fear you already seen. I rest my heart on all your promises, 'cause I have seen and know your faithfulness. Your parting water, and now
Seth, you come on. Anybody got anything? Y'all's in a hurry to get home and watch the Steelers lose, aren't you? And what, to add to that, what amazes me a lot of times is the dedication they have. He's not holding words. Mara didn't hold words. Brianna's not holding words. How many adults get up here and they're looking over, I gotta have my words? These kids are memorizing these songs. They're practicing. And they've got these songs memorized, and they want to be able to not have the words. So, anybody else?
The more that I trust him, the more that I love him, nothing good for me he'll deny. The longer I know him, the better I can show him. I couldn't stop now if I tried. Oh, it gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, deeper, fuller, and sweeter, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by. The moment he saved me, his good grace he gave me, he placed his love down deep in my heart. It's great joy knowing with him I'm going, and nevermore from him to depart. Oh, it gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, deeper, fuller, and sweeter, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by. Oh, it gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, deeper, fuller, and sweeter, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by.
Allie, if you'd like to come on. Anybody got anything while she's coming?
Here in this worn and weary land, where many a dream has died, like a tree planted by the water, we never will run dry. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire, just to to your word we're digging deep, to know our Father's heart, and to the world we're reaching out, to show them who you are. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire, just to
got anything after that? All did wonderful. Anybody else? If not, Jimmy, you come on. I'm going to ask Trenton, if you would, to stand and pray for the message, please.
Night to follow the singing and it's hard to do. It's hard to get up here. It's hard to sing in front of people and hard to turn your mic on. There we go. So many steps I got to remember. That's the only thing I got to do is turn my mic on. And somehow forgot it, but it's good to be here tonight and we're blessed. We're blessed. We are a blessed church. We have so many things going on, so many young people that are willing to step up. I mean, even the fact that we have Youth Sunday, that we have two services, and these aren't the only services that our youth are doing anything. I mean, they're doing things at every, you know, at all services, but we have two every month that are devoted to them and they pull through every time, and they're always there to lift us up. And we get encouragement from them, and they get encouragement from us. And, you know, it's a good thing. So if you got your Bibles with you, we'll start out in Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. Before we go there, we'll say this. In Psalms, it says that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Exodus chapter 32, beginning with verse 1, it says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." I just noticed something there that, they just made them right there, and then they said, these were the gods that brought you out of Egypt, that we just made right now. That should tell you right there the vanity and the foolishness of man. You know, I said earlier, the fool said in his heart there is no God. But really, I mean, we could say it this way, the fool said in his heart that there are other gods besides the God that we serve. But they literally just made these gods and said, hey, these things that we just made from your earrings, they're the ones that brought us forth out of Egypt like several years ago. And it doesn't make sense. And it doesn't make sense. But they did. They made that and they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow, and offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to play. Now I ask you tonight, what good do you think came about of them praying to this God that they had just made? What answer did they get? What, you know, they were distressed. They had gone without Moses. Moses was gone for a while. They were distressed. They were probably hungry. Even though God had been providing them food daily in the form of manna, and even though he had been providing them direction in the form of a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night, even though he had brought forth water out of a rock out in the wilderness, even though he had divided the Red Sea, even though he had brought them and delivered them out of the hand of Egypt, all of those things, they still were distressed in their heart. Because, see, I guess life was hard for them. Life was hard. And so they began to forget about all these things that God had done. And they turned to this golden calf. And I wonder, what good did it do for them to do that? What answer did they get for them crying out and bowing down and offering up these burnt sacrifices to these gods? Well, we know the answer. We know the answer is that they didn't get any kind of answer. It was silence. Silence. Now, they might interpret things, and they might interpret circumstances that later came and said, well, that was because we did this. Or, you know, or this event is because we sacrificed to this god or to that god and to all those things. But what answer did they get? They got no answer at all. And then you go down and you look at Elijah, and you look at when he had that competition, when they were to sacrifice these offerings to these different gods, to the god of Baal and to all these things. They cut themselves. They did all these things crying out to the god of Baal. And what answer did they get at that time? They got nothing. Nothing at all. No kind of answer at all. And you go to present day, and I think of present day somewhere. Right now at this time, there are people that are sitting around, and they have built these things. They have built these radios. They have built these sophisticated machines that cry out to space. Have you ever heard of that? They built these things to send signals out to space so that whatever's out there, if they can hear it, then they would know what we're trying to tell them. But at the same time, there are many people that are sitting here today around, and they're waiting to hear back from space. And they're waiting to hear back that sometime there's going to be some kind of answer. Somebody's going to be out there, and it's going to answer. And you know what they hear when they do this? They hear silence. They don't hear anything at all. And I just think it's so bizarre that there are people that are searching in vain so badly for stuff that they want to be true so badly. And they will sit there and they will listen to silence. And they will listen to these things. And they will follow in ways. They will buy books. They will buy books that they think have answers that don't really have any answers. They will follow philosophies that tell you to look into yourself. Hey, they're listening. And like I said, those scientists that are listening, they're hoping to get any kind of answer from out there, from E.T. out there somewhere is going to come call them back. But these same people who are waiting for that answer, they get spoken to by God all the time. They get spoken to. There's a still small voice that says, hey, you need to be doing this. Or, hey, you need to be, you know, this is where you need to be. I believe that he convicts them also. But you know what? They hear that voice and they say, that's just me. They hear that voice and they shut it out so that they can listen to the silence. Man, that just strikes me so much, that they can be willing to listen to something in vain like that, but they silence the voice that is trying to talk to them. There is one that answers our prayers. There is one that talks back when we talk to him. There is one that is an extraterrestrial that's not like us, that is out there, and he has all the resources, and he is there, and he can communicate with us. But people shut their life off to him just so they can look to the other gods, just so they can look to the skies. And I think there's a reason for that. You know, the people in Egypt, or the Israelites that had come out, I think they went to the golden calf, one, because that's what they were used to going to in Egypt. But I think another reason is that this golden calf wasn't as demanding as the god that they were serving. He wasn't as hard on them as the god that they were serving. He was a lot more easygoing than the god that they were serving, who was coming up with these commandments and these things. And so they got a little lazy, and they thought, well, we don't want to work like this anymore. Let's serve something that serves us. And so they fashioned this golden calf because it was easy. And I want to go back, I want to go forward a little bit to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, or I'm sorry, chapter 8. And this is right after the Sermon on the Mount, when God, in human form, was speaking to us. You know, I talked about earlier about all these gods who were silent. Jesus Christ came. He came to this world. And for the first time, really, in this world, God was speaking to them directly. Now, he had been speaking to them in the Old Testament and things like that. But now we had a man that walked among us. A man that came down that was among us, that was also God. And for the first time, someone could go face to face and speak to him and get an answer back. They didn't speak to him and get silence. And that's what I want to look at tonight. Chapter 8, starting with verse 1. It says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. So kind of like Pharaoh was offering up his son to that God, this man was crying out a need to a God. He was crying out just like Pharaoh, except he wasn't holding his lifeless son. He was coming to him for himself because he was a leper. But the idea is still the same. He was crying out to a greater entity. He was crying out for help. And this time, he didn't get silence. He didn't have to stay in the condition that he was in. Listen to what Jesus said. It says, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying. So he actually spoke back. But it gets even better than that. He touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, see that thou tell no man, and go thy way. Show thyself to the priests, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But the point I want to get at is that a man came to him with a need. And he said, you can make me clean. And he said, will you make me clean? And this God that we serve not only answered him, but he answered him, I will. So we have a God that we can go to that not only hears us, not only hears our pleas, not only gives us an answer, but he says, I will. I will. What is it you need? I will. And it goes on in verse 5, and it says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. So again, he says it, I will come, and heal him. How great is it that we serve a God that has all the resources in this universe at his disposal. He has all resources. You know, you can ask me to do something and I can say, I will. But my will can only go so far for your need. If you need me to pick you up, I can pick you up. That's about it. if you need me to help out, I can help out. If you need me to whatever it is, I can be there and I can do that. But if you need God to do something, think of the resources at his disposal that he has to give you if you only ask. If you only ask. So we serve not only a God that answers us, but a God that says, I will. I will. Whenever we ask him for certain things that we need. It goes back earlier, and he talks about, I just lost it here. But it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of that. We talked about it this morning. People who put all their faith and all their hope into things. Or they put all their faith and all their hope into false gods or things that when the time comes that they're going to go through hard times, which we all go through, all of these things fall apart right before them. But Jesus said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine is like a man who built it upon a rock that when the winds came and when the rains came and when all this stuff came, that it held and it held firm. So why do we believe and put our trust in things that aren't of God? And you know, today, we as Christians, we're guilty of doing the same thing sometimes. A lot of times we're guilty of taking our problems and handing them before something, hoping that it's going to change things. We're guilty of taking it and putting our hopes into worldly things to fix our problems. And a lot of times it's not until those things don't work, or it's not until those things don't work that we finally say, oh yeah, I've got a God that's in control of all things. I'm going to give it to Him. I'm guilty of it. I'm just being honest. You know, whenever I run into a problem, my first thoughts are, I'm going to figure this out. And I'm going to take it to this. And I'm going to take it to that. And I'm going to do it to that. And it takes a while until you finally begin to learn that when you run across a problem, to take it directly to the one who answers and says, I will be there. The Bible tells us that He is like a father, that who among you, if you would ask your father for some bread, would give him a stone? Or who among you, if you ask your father for a fish, would give you a serpent? And what He was trying to say is, if your father is there to give you the things that you need, and if your father cares, and He's going to be willing to move heaven and earth for you, how much more is your heavenly Father going to give you the things that you need? So when we cry out to Him, He is the only one that answers back. Out of all the gods that are served in this world, out of all the things that are looked after, all the questions that are asked, our God is the only one that answers back, and He always answers in our best interest. And He has all the resources at His disposal. I guess what I'm trying to say is, He is willing, He is able, and He wants to do what is good for us. So we just have to make sure that we're crying out to Him and not taking it to some vain thing, not taking it as Pharaoh did to the gods of Egypt, not taking it as the Israelites did to the golden calf, not taking it as the people in Elijah's day did and took it to Balaam, not taking it as the scientists do and saying we're waiting on an answer from something out there that's going to come and tell us what we need to do. We need to take it to the one true God. And a lot of times His voice is the one that we're silencing and that we're ignoring and trying to find it in some other place. And we need to make sure that we're calling out to Him. You know who else I thought of when I was thinking of this sermon? I thought of on the cross, the thief on the cross that said, remember me, remember me. And what did He say? Surely you will be with me today in paradise. He cried out to this God that was right beside of Him on the cross just like He was. And He cried out to Him. He didn't cry out to the Roman soldiers and say, get me down off of here. He didn't cry out and say, you know, to other gods and say, get me down. But He cried out to the God that He knew was there. And His God answered Him and He said, surely you will be with me today in paradise. We serve an awesome God who is able to do all of these things that we ask Him to do. His power is only limited when our power to ask or our faith in believing is limited. We limit ourselves when it comes to the power of God. But He is there, He is willing, He is able. And when we ask Him, He says, I will, I will. As Bree gets a song of invitation, think of what it is that you're struggling with. What is it that you're wrestling with tonight? What is it that's a roadblock right in front of you tonight? What is it that's something that's thrown you for a loop here recently? Something that just you don't know what the answer is going to be. And make sure that you take whatever that is and you don't try to figure it out yourself. You don't try to pick up a book about it. You don't try to go and pay somebody about it. But take it to the Lord first and allow Him to answer the way that He answers. And allow Him to speak to you. And you know what else? We pray a lot of times to Him. We pray this message that is going to Him. And then we expect a lot of times just for it to be plain as day to us. But we need to get in His Word, because He speaks to us through this. He speaks to us. We need to pray, and then we need to read. We need to pray, and then we need to search. And then we need to listen. As the one song said, we need to listen and to be still and to see what it is that God is trying to tell us. But one thing's for sure, He will communicate with you, and He will tell you what it is that we need to hear as we get a song of invitation. If you have a burden tonight, you bring it tonight, and you lift it up to the only one who can answer and the only one who wants what's best for you. Bless you, Brie. Everyone stand, please.
Eyes of man, it seems there's so much we have lost. As we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked, one by one the enemy has whispered lies and led them off as slaves. But we know that You are God, Yours is the victory. We know there is more to come that we may not yet see. So with the faith You've given us, we'll step into the valley unafraid. Yeah. So we call out to dry bones, come alive. Come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Up out of the ashes, let us see an army rise. Oh, we call out to dry bones, come alive. God of endless mercy, God of unrelenting every daughter, bring us back the wayward son, and by His Spirit breathe upon them, show the world that You alone can save. You alone can save. So we call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. God, now breathe, oh breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe, breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe, oh breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe. As we call down to dry bones, come alive, come alive. Call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Up out of the ashes, let us see an army rise. Oh, we call out to dry bones, come alive. Oh, we call out to dry bones, come alive. Oh, come alive.
One God that can call out to dead bones and say, come alive. There's only one. And He does. He does. Not only does He hear us, but He answers us. And He says, I will. You know, I've said it before. It kind of goes along with this. The world says, when life hands you lemons, what do? Make lemonade. I say, don't do that. When life hands you lemons, don't make lemonade, because you'll just mess it up, okay? When life hands you lemons, you give your lemons to God, and He'll make the best lemonade that you can have. A lot of times we don't do that. We try to make our lemonade and taste just as bad as the lemons do. Just made more of a mess. But if we take those lemons and we take them to God, He'll add the sugar, He'll add whatever it needs, and He'll give you lemonade. So maybe keep that in mind. Everything we touch is just going to be messed up, but if we go to Him. Anything else before we dismiss? We pray that everyone is safe this week at the work and school, and pray that God goes with us. We have a